A sloth, a donkey, and a curious human. Send a prompt and see what they're doing. One hits a record with a question on his mind. Two brothers pick it up, see what they find. Corn takes his time, Herman's got the facts. Back and forth, they never hold back. My weird prompts, come on in, that's where we begin. My weird prompts, glad you're here.
This episode was generated using artificial intelligence. Please verify facts.
Daniel sent us this one about quick pick bins, those slanted modular storage units you see on workbenches and in warehouses. He swung by Yossi Box near Ashdod, picked up his U-Haul boxes, and on his way out grabbed some of these bins too. The question is basically, what actually are these things? How are they used in the real world? What sizing standards exist? What goes in them? And crucially, do they belong on a home workbench or are they strictly warehouse gear?
Oh, this is my territory. I've been living with these bins for years now. The slanted front design is one of those things that, once you've used it, going back to a flat bin feels almost hostile, like a drawer that resents you opening it.
That's a whole category.
It really is. So let's start with what we're talking about. Quick pick bins, sometimes called Lin bins, that's actually a trademark that got genericized, like Kleenex. Linbin was originally a brand from a company called Linvar in the UK, but now people use it to mean any slanted front hangstack modular bin. The defining feature is that the front face is cut lower than the back, so when the bin is mounted on a louvered panel or rail, it tilts forward. You reach in from the top front, and gravity keeps everything pulled toward you.
The bin is doing work for you. It's not just holding things, it's presenting them.
That's the whole philosophy. In a flat bin, you're digging. In a slanted bin, you're just... It cuts retrieval time to almost nothing. In industrial settings, that's measured in seconds per pick, and when you multiply that across a shift, it's real money.
Daniel's been using IKEA clip-on buckets for his daily reach stuff. USB cables, NFC tags, magnets, tape, which I imagine works fine until it doesn't.
Right, and the until it doesn't is the interesting part. IKEA's storage buckets, the Trofast bins, the Variera boxes, they're designed for domestic tidiness, not for repeated access. They're deep, they nest, they have no presentation angle. You're looking down into a hole. For things you grab once a month, that's fine. For things you grab 10 times a day, it's friction. And friction is the enemy of organization.
Friction is the enemy of organization. That sounds like it should be on a poster in a German factory somewhere.
It probably is. So, how these are actually used in practice? The most common setup is a louvered panel system. You've got a metal or heavy plastic panel with horizontal slots, louvers, and the bins have a lip on the back that hooks into those slots. You can reconfigure the layout in seconds. No tools, no screws, no commitment.
No commitment storage. The organizational equivalent of situationships.
Just as prone to accumulating over time. But here's the thing. Louvered panels aren't the only mounting option. There are also rail systems, where bins slide onto horizontal rails, and stackable systems where bins interlock directly with each other. Some have dividers you can snap in to split a bin into two or three compartments. Some come with label holders integrated into the front lip. It's a whole ecosystem.
It's Lego for people whose hobby is knowing where things are.
And I say that with complete sincerity. The modularity is the point. You're not buying a fixed storage unit, you're buying a system that can evolve as your needs change. You add bins, you rearrange them, you swap sizes. If one area of your workbench gets more use, you put the high-frequency bins there. If you realize you're reaching past three bins to get to the one you actually need, you reconfigure.
Which brings up something Daniel mentioned, that visiting Yossi Box felt like visiting a kind of Lego. And I think that's exactly the appeal. It's not just about storing things, it's about building the storage itself as a project. This is satisfaction in designing your own layout.
And the industrial systems reward that. Let me talk about sizing standards, because this is where it gets both useful and mildly confusing. There isn't one universal standard, but there are dominant systems. The most common is based on the louvered panel pitch, typically a 1-inch or 25mm vertical spacing between slots. Bins are designed in multiples of that pitch.
If a bin is three slots tall, it's roughly 75 millimeters of panel height.
And the widths follow similar logic, typically in increments of about 100 to 150 millimeters. You'll see bins designated by a code that encodes the front dimensions. Something like QF105 might mean 105 millimeters wide. The depth varies too. You've got shallow bins for small parts, deeper bins for bulkier items.
QF, quick fit?
Quick fit, or sometimes QP for quick pick. The naming isn't perfectly standardized across manufacturers, which is part of the fun, but the physical dimensions tend to converge because they all need to work with the same panel systems. A bin from Yosibox in Israel will generally work with a panel from Schuler Alibert in Europe or Quantum Storage in the US. It's market-driven standardization. Nobody sat down and wrote a spec, but if you make a bin that doesn't fit existing panels, nobody buys it. The most common small sizes are roughly 100 by 150 millimeters at the face, going up to about 300 by 400 for larger bins. Depths range from about 100 millimeters for shallow bins to over 300 for deep ones.
These are typically open front, no lid.
Most quick pick bins are open, yes. The slanted design means dust settles toward the back, not on your parts, at least in theory. Some come with optional clear plastic covers, but the whole point is rapid access, so lids defeat the purpose. If you need sealed storage, you're in a different product category.
What actually goes in these things? Daniel mentioned USB cables, NFC tags, magnets, tape. Is that typical?
That's actually a perfect use case. The classic industrial application is small hardware, screws, bolts, nuts, washers, rivets, O-rings, electrical connectors. Anything where you need maybe a dozen or two dozen at a time, and you're grabbing them repeatedly throughout the day. Electronics assembly lines use them for resistors, capacitors, LEDs. Repair shops use them for small replacement parts. Jewelry makers use them for findings. Hobbyists use them for model making components.
Basically, if you can hold it between two fingers and you need it frequently, it goes in a quick pick bin.
That's the heuristic. And there's a psychological dimension here that I think is underappreciated. When you can see everything at a glance and grab it without friction, you actually use the system. The number of people who buy beautiful storage solutions and then stop using them after 2 weeks because retrieval is annoying, it's enormous. Quick pick bins solve the retrieval problem so thoroughly that they become self-reinforcing. You put things back because putting things back is easy.
The IKEA effect in reverse. Instead of loving something because you built it, you hate it because it makes your life harder.
And I've seen this in my own setup. I started with flat bins on shelves, and I was constantly pulling bins out, digging through them, putting them back. The friction was subtle but cumulative. Switching to slanted bins on louvered panels. It sounds like a small change, but it genuinely transformed how I work.
You mentioned your setup. Walk me through what you actually have.
I've got a combination. Along the back of my workbench, I've mounted two louvered panels, each about 600 millimeters wide by 900 tall. On those, I've got maybe 40 bins of various sizes. The smallest ones, roughly 100 by 150 by 100 deep, hold things like heat shrink tubing, zip ties, crimp connectors, small screws sorted by size. Medium bins hold USB cables, adapters, batteries. The larger ones hold things like rolls of tape, spools of wire, my label maker.
The tape is interesting because Daniel specifically mentioned tape. Tape in a flat bin is a nightmare. It rolls around, you can't see what type it is, you end up with a collection of partially used rolls that all look identical from above.
In a slanted bin, the roll sits angled toward you. You can see the edge, you can see the color, you can grab it by the outer diameter. It's a small thing, but it's the difference between reaching for tape and dreading reaching for tape.
Dread is the right word. There's a low-grade anxiety to disorganize storage that you don't notice until it's gone.
That brings us to the environments where these are commonly seen. Obviously, warehouses and distribution centers. If you've ever watched footage of an Amazon fulfillment center, those yellow bins on the picking stations are exactly this. But they're also ubiquitous in manufacturing, in hospital supply rooms, in electronics repair shops, in automotive garages. Basically, anywhere you have a skilled worker who needs rapid access to a large variety of small items. Medical and dental is a huge market for these. Sterile processing departments use them. Veterinary clinics use them. Any environment where you're dealing with consumables that come in multiple sizes and you need the right one immediately.
The environments span from heavy industry to clinical precision. That's a pretty wide range.
It tells you something about the design. It's not just durable, it's cleanable, it's chemical resistant. It doesn't harbor bacteria if you get the right material. Most quick pick bins are made from polypropylene or polystyrene. Polypropylene is more flexible, more chemical resistant, and can handle higher temperatures. Polystyrene is more rigid and usually cheaper, but it can crack if you abuse it. For a homeward bench, either is fine. For an industrial setting, polypropylene is usually the spec.
Material matters in a way most people don't think about when they're standing in the storage aisle.
It really does, and there's another dimension, color coding. In industrial settings, bins are often color-coded by part type, by department, by shift, by priority. Red bins for critical spares, blue for electrical, yellow for fasteners, whatever system makes sense. At home, you can do the same thing. It sounds obsessive, but when you're in the middle of a project and you need a specific screw, being able to scan by color cuts your search time dramatically.
Or you can just go with whatever's cheapest and memorize where everything is, which is what most people do, and then quietly resent.
Let me talk about the mounting systems in more detail, because this is where people make expensive mistakes. Louvered panels are the most flexible option. You can reconfigure endlessly, but they require wall space. If you don't have wall space, you can get freestanding frames that hold louvered panels. These are essentially shelving units where the back is a panel instead of a solid wall. They're common in warehouses where you need picking stations in the middle of the floor.
You're not limited to perimeter walls.
Not at all. There are also bench mount systems where a small panel sits on your workbench, maybe 300 millimeters tall, holding a single row of bins right at the back edge. That's actually ideal for a home setup. It gives you the quick access benefit without dominating the room.
Then there's the rail system you mentioned earlier.
Rail systems use horizontal rails instead of slotted panels. The bins have a different kind of hook on the back that slides onto the rail. The advantage is that rails are cheaper than full panels and easier to mount. The disadvantage is you can't adjust vertical positioning as granularly. You're locked into the rail positions. For a fixed setup where you know what you need, rails are great. For an evolving setup, panels win.
It's a trade-off between cost and flexibility.
And there's a third option, stackable bins. These have interlocking features on the top and bottom so you can build towers of bins without any panel or rail at all. They're less common for quick pick because they're not as stable when you're grabbing from them, but they work if you're space constrained and don't want to mount anything on a wall.
Daniel's context is specifically a workbench, not a warehouse, so he's probably looking at a bench mount panel or a small wall-mounted setup.
That's what I'd recommend. A single louvered panel, maybe 600 by 400 millimeters, mounted at the back of the workbench or on the wall just above it. That'll hold maybe 15 to 20 bins depending on sizes. More than enough for USB cables, NFC tags, magnets, tape, and whatever else accumulates.
The Yossi Box connection is interesting here because he's buying from an industrial supplier. He's not going through a consumer channel. What does that get him?
Better quality at a lower price, usually. Industrial suppliers sell to businesses that buy in volume and care about durability. They're not marketing lifestyle aesthetics. The bins are functional, they're consistent, and they're cheaper per unit than anything you'd find at a home organization store. The trade-off is you might have to buy in packs, and you might not get the color options you'd see in a consumer catalog.
You're getting the same bins that a factory floor uses, but you're putting them next to your soldering iron instead of a conveyor belt.
And that's the beauty of it. Industrial storage systems are designed for the hardest use case, 8-hour shifts, daily cleaning, constant access. In a home workshop, they're basically indestructible. You'll replace the items in the bins 1,000 times before you ever need to replace the bins themselves.
The bin becomes a permanent fixture. The contents are temporary.
That's the mindset shift. Most home storage is treated as temporary. You buy something at IKEA, you use it for a few years, it gets wobbly, you replace it. Industrial bins are infrastructure. You mount the panel once, and then for the rest of your life, you're just rearranging bins on it.
There's something almost philosophical about that. You're not organizing your stuff. You're building an organizing system that outlasts any particular set of stuff.
That's why people who get into this tend to go deep. You start with 6 bins for screws, and 3 years later, you've got 120 bins, and you're color coding by thread pitch.
I want to circle back to something you mentioned earlier. The retrieval psychology. You said quick pick bins are self-reinforcing because they're so easy to use, but I wonder if there's also a visual component. When everything is visible and angled towards you, you're constantly reminded of what you have.
That's a huge point. Out of sight, out of mind is the death of organized storage. If you can't see it, you forget you own it, and then you buy another one. With slanted bins on an open panel, everything is visible at a glance. You don't need to open drawers or lift lids. Your inventory is always presenting itself to you.
Which is why these work so well for consumables. You can see at a glance that you're down to 3M3 bolts and you need to restock.
It's passive inventory management. In industrial settings, they take this further with two bin systems, two identical bins stacked vertically for the same part. When the top bin is empty, you pull the bottom bin up, and the empty bin becomes a reorder signal. That's probably overkill for a home workbench, but the principle applies. It's classic lean manufacturing. And it works beautifully with quick pick bins because the slanted design makes it obvious when a bin is running low. You don't need to count, you can see it.
Daniel's question about whether these are just for warehouses. The answer is clearly no. But is there anything about them that doesn't translate to a home workbench?
A couple of things to watch out for. In a warehouse, there's usually enough air movement and regular cleaning that dust isn't a huge issue. In a home workshop that might sit unused for a week, dust can accumulate. The slanted design helps debris falls to the back, not onto your parts, but it's not a sealed system. If dust is a concern, you might want bins with optional clear covers, or you might position the panel away from the dustiest parts of the shop.
Don't mount it directly under your belt sander.
Second thing, these bins are designed for small, relatively lightweight items. If you fill a large quick pick bin with heavy steel components, the hook on the back can deform over time, especially with polystyrene bins. For heavy stuff, you want bins with reinforced hooks, or you want to move to a different storage system entirely. As a rough rule, keep it under a couple of kilos per bin. If you're storing lead fishing weights, you're in the wrong product category.
What about the mounting itself? If you're putting a louvered panel on drywall, are you going to have a bad time?
You absolutely need to hit studs. A fully loaded panel with 40 bins can weigh quite a bit, and drywall anchors alone won't cut it long. The panels themselves usually have mounting holes on 16-inch centers. That's standard stud spacing in the U.S., about 40 centimeters in metric countries. If your studs don't line up, you can mount a plywood backer board to the studs first, then mount the panel to that.
There's an installation step that's slightly more involved than hanging a picture.
It's an hour of work instead of 5 minutes, but then it's done forever. And for a bench mount system, you don't even need to deal with the wall. The panel bolts directly to the back of the workbench.
That seems like the path of least resistance for Daniel's context.
A bench mount panel, maybe 400 millimeters tall, running the width of the workbench, holds a single row or maybe two rows of bins. Everything at arm's reach, no wall damage, fully reconfigurable.
Let's talk about the specific items Daniel mentioned, because I think there are some nuances. USB cables. Those are awkward to store in almost any system. They tangle, they're different lengths, the connectors snag on things.
USB cables are the glitter of the electronics world. They get everywhere and you can never fully get rid of them. In a quick pick bin, I'd coil each cable and secure it with a Velcro tie, then stand them on end in a deeper bin. The slanted front means you can see the connector type immediately, USB-A, USB-C, micro, whatever. If you have a lot of cables, you might dedicate a bin per connector type.
The bin contains the chaos. Even if they're loosely coiled, they're not spilling into adjacent bins.
NFC tags and magnets. Those are small, flat, and prone to scattering. A shallow quick pick bin is perfect. You can scoop one out without disturbing the rest. And because the bin is open front, you can see exactly how many you have left.
Tape we covered. The angled presentation solves the roll identification problem.
If you're storing multiple types of tape, electrical, masking, double-sided, gaffer, you can either use one large bin with dividers or multiple smaller bins. I prefer separate bins because I can label the front of each one and grab without thinking.
Let's talk about that because it's the difference between a system that works for a week and a system that works for a decade.
Labeling is everything. Most quick pick bins have a flat front lip designed specifically for labels. You can use a label maker, you can write on painter's tape, you can print adhesive labels, whatever works. The key is that the label faces you directly because of the slanted design. You're not craning your neck to read the top edge of a bin. It's right there at eye level every time.
If you reconfigure, you relabel. That's part of the commitment.
And this is where the modularity really shines. If you decide that USB-C cables need a bigger bin and micro USB is shrinking, you swap the bins and print new labels. Try doing that with a drawer organizer.
Drawer organizers are the seductive lie of home storage. They look organized for about 3 days.
Because they fight against access patterns. A drawer requires 2 motions. Pull open, reach in. A quick pick bin requires 1, reach. It sounds trivial, but multiply it by 50 reaches a day, and it's the difference between a system you maintain and a system you abandon.
You mentioned earlier that you switch from flat bins to slanted bins. Was there a specific moment where you realized the flat bins weren't working?
There was a project where I needed a specific heat shrink connector. I knew I had it, I'd bought a pack of 20, I'd used maybe 5. I spent 15 minutes going through flat bins, pulling them off shelves, peering in, putting them back. I found the connectors eventually, but the frustration stuck with me. I ordered my first louvered panel that night.
15 minutes of searching for something you know you own. That's a special kind of irritation.
It's the organizational equivalent of losing a sneeze. You know it's there, you can feel it, but you can't access it.
Sizing standards in more detail, because Daniel specifically asked. The most common system in Europe and Israel is based on the Euronorm, DIN, and ISO standards for modular containers. You'll see bins designated by their front face dimensions in millimeters. Common small sizes, 105 by 150, 105 by 220, 150 by 220, medium, 220 by 340, large, 340 by 500. Depths typically range from about 75 millimeters for ultra-shallow bins to 300 plus for deep bins.
In the U.S., it's similar but in inches. Quantum Storage Systems, a major U.S. manufacturer, uses a system based on the louvered panel pitch. Their bins come in widths of about 4 inches, 6 inches, 8 inches, and 12 inches, with corresponding heights. The dimensions aren't exactly interchangeable with the Euro system, but they're close enough that you can usually mix and match if you're not too picky about perfect fit.
If Daniel's buying from Yossibox, he's in the Euro standard ecosystem.
Yes, and Yossibox likely carries the full range. Industrial suppliers in Israel tend to stock European manufacturers. Schuler Alibert, SSI Schaefer, Plaster, that kind of thing. The quality is excellent.
How does it compare to consumer alternatives?
Typically, a small quick pick bin from an industrial supplier costs somewhere between $1 and $3 US equivalent. A louvered panel might be $20 to $50 depending on size. Compare that to a consumer organization system from a big box store where you're paying for packaging and branding and the bins are thinner plastic. It's no contest. Industrial is cheaper per unit of actual utility.
You're paying less for a better product because you're not paying for marketing.
You're not paying for retail shelf space, pretty packaging, or the lifestyle photography of a perfectly organized craft room that nobody actually lives in.
The craft room industrial complex.
It's real. And it preys on people's desire for order without giving them the tools to actually achieve it. Industrial storage is boring to look at in a catalog, but it works. It works day after day, year after year.
Function over form, but in a way that the form becomes beautiful because it's so functional.
A wall of labeled quick pick bins, properly organized, is aesthetically pleasing in a way that has nothing to do with decoration. It's the beauty of a system that's doing its job. You feel a small surge of satisfaction every time you reach for something, and it's there. That's the reward cycle that keeps the system alive.
Let's talk about some specific use cases beyond the obvious. You mentioned electronics. What about crafts?
Sewing is a great application. Thread spools sit perfectly in deeper quick pick bins. You can see the color on the spool edge. Buttons, zippers, snaps, needles in small bins. A sewing workbench with a louvered panel above it is a thing of beauty.
What about kitchen use?
I've seen it done, but I'd be cautious. Quick pick bins aren't typically food grade plastic, and the open design means dust and kitchen grease can accumulate. For spices, you're better off with sealed containers. But for non-food kitchen items, rubber bands, bag clips, twist ties, spare parts for appliances, quick pick bins work great. The rule of thumb, if it needs to stay sterile, sealed, or completely dust-free, quick pick isn't the right choice. If it's something you grab frequently and contamination isn't a concern, quick pick is ideal.
What about the bins themselves? Any maintenance? Do they get brittle over time?
Polypropylene bins will last essentially forever indoors. They might get a bit dusty, but a quick wipe with a damp cloth takes care of it. Polystyrene can yellow and become brittle after years of UV exposure, so if your workbench is in direct sunlight, go with polypropylene. Most industrial bins are polypropylene for exactly this reason.
any warping or sagging.
Metal panels, usually powder-coated steel, are indestructible. Plastic panels can sag if overloaded, especially in hot environments. If you're mounting above a radiator or in a garage that hits 40 degrees Celsius in summer, go with metal. For a climate-controlled indoor workbench, plastic is fine.
Daniel's in Israel, so summer heat is a real consideration if the workbench is in a non-air-conditioned space.
Israeli summers can be brutal. If the workspace isn't climate-controlled, I'd recommend metal panels and polypropylene bins. The combination will handle the heat without warping.
Let's talk about the initial setup process. Someone walks into Yossibox or goes online. They're faced with a wall of bins in 20 sizes. How do they choose?
Start with inventory. Before buying a single bin, lay out everything you want to store. Group it by category and size. Measure the largest item in each category. Then choose bin sizes that fit those items with a little room to spare. You don't want bins packed to the brim because that defeats the quick access purpose. A good rule is to fill bins to about 60 or 70% capacity. That leaves room to reach in and grab without knocking things out.
You're buying bins based on what you actually have, not buying bins and then figuring out what to put in them.
The reverse approach, buying a set of bins and then filling them, leads to bins that are either half empty or stuffed with things that don't belong there. Start with the stuff, then buy the containers. And once you've got your bins, you arrange them by frequency of use. The items you grab most often go at chest height, directly in front of you. Less frequent items go higher or lower. The bin you reach for once a month can go at ankle level. The bin you reach for 20 times a day should be exactly where your hand naturally goes.
Ergonomics of storage. Nobody thinks about this until they've thrown their back out reaching for a bin of screws.
Or until they've knocked over three bins trying to reach the one in the back. Which is another advantage of the panel system. Everything is single depth. There's no back row to reach past. Every bin is equally accessible.
That's the fundamental difference from shelf-based storage, isn't it? On a shelf, depth is the enemy. Things get hidden behind other things.
Shelves are two-dimensional storage masquerading as three-dimensional. A louvered panel is truly two-dimensional. Everything is on the front plane. You sacrifice some density, but you gain perfect visibility and access.
The storage equivalent of a flat hierarchy.
No middle management bins blocking your access to the frontline bins.
I want to ask about one more thing Daniel mentioned. The experience of visiting Yossibox itself. He described it as like visiting a kind of Lego. I think there's something to that beyond just the modularity. There's a tactile pleasure in handling bins, clicking them into panels, rearranging them.
And industrial supply stores have a particular aesthetic that's deeply satisfying. No mood lighting, no ambient music, no lifestyle photography, just rows and rows of functional objects, each designed to do one thing well. Walking into a place like that, you feel like you're accessing a secret level of adulthood where things actually work the way they're supposed to.
The secret level of adulthood. I love that. It's the opposite of the consumer experience where everything is designed to look good in an Instagram post and fall apart in 6 months.
Industrial supply is the antidote to planned obsolescence. These bins were designed in the 1960s and 70s, and the design hasn't changed because it doesn't need to. It solved the problem correctly the first time.
Which is rare. Most products get redesigned every few years for novelty's sake. Industrial storage just...
Because the laws of physics don't change. Gravity still pulls things down. Hands still reach from the front. Eyes still scan from left to right. A slanted bin with an open front and a label holder is close to the platonic ideal of small part storage. There's nothing to improve.
Daniel's switch from IKEA clip-on buckets to quick pick bins is less an upgrade and more a graduation.
It's moving from a solution that was designed to look organized to a solution that was designed to be organized. They're different goals. IKEA's storage products are designed primarily to look tidy in a catalog photo. Industrial bins are designed to survive a factory floor. If you use factory floor equipment in a home workshop, you're operating at a level of durability that's almost comically excessive, and that's wonderful.
Over-engineering your personal storage. It's a flex, but a quiet one that only you appreciate.
The best kind of flex.
To pull this together for the specific questions in the prompt, how are quick pick bins used in practice? They're mounted on louvered panels, rails, or bench mount systems. They present small items at an angle for instant visibility and one-motion retrieval. They're reconfigured constantly as needs change, and they're labeled on the front lip for immediate identification.
Environments, warehouses, factories, hospitals, repair shops, garages, dental offices, electronics labs, and increasingly home workshops and craft rooms. Anywhere small items are accessed frequently.
Sizing standards. Euro system based on millimeter increments. Common small sizes around 105 by 150. Mediums around 220 by 340. Depths from 75 to over 300 millimeters. US system similar in inches. De facto interoperability across manufacturers.
What goes in them? Screws, bolts, nuts, washers, electrical connectors, USB cables, batteries, tape, magnets, NFC tags, craft supplies, sewing notions, small hardware of any kind. Anything you grab frequently with two fingers.
The warehouse versus workbench question. They are absolutely suitable for a home workbench. In fact, a bench mount panel is probably the ideal entry point. Start with a small setup. Expand as needed, and enjoy the satisfaction of a storage system that actually works.
The only caveats, watch the weight per bin, mount to studs or use a backer board, consider dust if that's an issue in your space, and choose polypropylene if you're dealing with heat or sunlight.
Labeling is not optional.
Labeling is the difference between a system and a pile of bins.
There's one more thing I want to touch on before we wrap. The prompt mentions going all in on the industrial system. There's a mindset shift there that's worth naming. When you commit to a modular standard, whether it's Euro boxes for large storage or quick pick bins for small parts, you stop buying one-off storage solutions. Every container works with every other container. You can move things between systems. You can expand without replacing. It's the storage equivalent of buying into a camera lens mount.
That's a perfect analogy. Once you've invested in the mount, the louvered panel, the rail system, every additional bin is a lens. It snaps in, it works immediately, and it stays compatible forever. You're not trapped in a proprietary ecosystem where the manufacturer discontinues your favorite bin and you have to start over.
That's the hidden cost of consumer storage systems. They change designs every few years. That IKEA bin you bought in 2022? The new version has slightly different clip spacing and doesn't fit your old rail. Industrial systems don't do that, because their customers would revolt.
Their customers are factories that have thousands of bins in active use. If a manufacturer changed the hook design, they'd lose every contract overnight, so they don't. The bins you buy today will fit the panels you buy in 20 years.
Long-term thinking in a short-term world.
It's almost subversive.
All right, I think we've covered this from every angle. Let's bring it home. And now, Hilbert's daily fun fact.
In the 1940s, researchers studying snake venom evolution in Tibet discovered that the venom of the Himalayan pit viper is potent enough that a single milligram, roughly the weight of a snowflake, can immobilize prey weighing up to 2 kilograms, making it about 2,000 times more efficient per unit mass than the tranquilizer darts used in modern wildlife management.
2,000 times more efficient. So nature's been running a better logistics operation than we have. If you're building out a workbench and you're tired of storage that fights you, quick pick bins on a louvered panel are the move. Start small, label aggressively, and enjoy the quiet satisfaction of reaching for something and finding it exactly where it should be.
If you want to go deep on modular storage standards, we've got some related episodes at myweirdprompts.com that cover Euroboxes and industrial container systems in detail. Check the show notes.
This has been My Weird Prompts. Thanks to our producer, Hilbert Flumingtop, and thanks to everyone listening. We'll catch you next time.
This episode's script was written by DeepSeek V4 Pro, with text-to-speech by Chatterbox.
Thanks for listening to our show, My Weird Prompts, where odd thoughts go. From sloth slow takes to facts on cue, we chase the strange and follow through. Some nights it's news, some nights it's lore, a thought you've never heard before. The host dig in, the the host indeed. The stranger the prompt, the less they sleep. From tiny questions, big ones too. From half-formed hunches to deja vu. If something odd is in your head, send it in, we'll chase the thread. My weird prompts, that's the close. From sloth, from man, from long-eared host. My weird prompts, until next time. Stay curious, keep weird in mind.